Y'all have a good Thanksgiving? Amen, we did. Everybody ready to go on a diet? Or are you just going to wait till after Christmas? I just might as well wait till after Christmas, amen. Because we're going to eat again. And eat, and again, and again, and again, amen. But there's nothing dear to my heart than eating out of God's holy word. I love food. And I love to taste food. When we travel and work, and always, when I'm working with my guys and stuff, I always look the area to find a certain kind of restaurant, amen? And we usually have to go try it out, and we just enjoy doing that and hanging out and visiting. But there's nothing that I desire more than coming into the house of God and being fed. We'll be in Isaiah chapter 30. God laid this message upon my heart. And at the time he gave me the thought. God always gives you a thought and then you begin to study it. And I didn't realize the effects of it and how big it was. Something so small could be so big. But that's the way my God is. God likes taking the foolish things and confounding the wise. And I'm not wise at all. It don't take much to confound me. But when I get something from God and I get to look in His Word, what a blessing it is when God starts speaking to my heart. Yes. And God gave me just a little something. And then I begin to let God grow it because I'm not educated. I'm not smart. I'm not enough to come up with something like this. But just like what Brother Billy was talking about this morning, God's looking for availability. He's looking for somebody that's humble, that God wants to be used, or that God wants to use. But what's so awesome is God wants to use each and every one of us.
Amen.
And I pray this message, that I won't preach it, and I won't stand up here because I'm nothing. But I pray that God will preach this message this morning to you. Amen. And you can get a glimpse of what God gave me, and maybe you can get a lot more than what God gave me out of something that is with us each and every day. If you want to put a title on this message, I would preach this message, Living Under the Shadow. Living Under the Shadow. See, we have a shadow. When you was born, you have a shadow from the first day you was born. I love watching my little kids when they first recognize their shadow. And I saw a video where a father was, he videoed his son because he noticed him doing that, but his son was walking down the road with him, and they were walking, and he noticed just right, and he noticed a shadow there, and he's like, "Whoa, what is that?" And then he'd move and it would move. And he's sitting there doing this. And then he'd run a little bit and then he'd stop. And you notice he couldn't leave the shadow. The shadow was always there. And the kids, when they first see your shadow, it out to them. I'll be like, "Look, Lexi, look." And she'll look and she'll see that little shadow. And she'll, you know, like, "Okay." And then what's funny, they'll start dancing or something, you know. They get it to move. So from a child, you have a shadow until you pass away. And you'll always have a shadow. Well, God showed me, and a shadow is a definition for a shadow, is a defined line of what's in the light. I want you to get that. It's a defined line of what's in the light. A shadow, it can't be there without the light. We know that at nighttime, when you're walking, and just walking in the dark, you won't see your shadow. But as long as the light's there and shines, you'll see your shadow. So you have to have the light. So it is a defined image of what the light is shining upon. And so we can see that, and God began to work in my life, and I begin to think of these verses, how God said we were created in His own image. And how in Genesis that the Father was there, God was there, the Son was there, the Holy Spirit was there. They all three were there when you was created. You didn't come from a monkey. You didn't come from a fish that crawled up on the land and grew legs. You didn't come from anything except God. That's the only thing you come from. Like the black preacher said, he said, I was reading something the other day, and it said there was 1,000 years ago something started wiggling. And then 1,000 years later, and a couple million years later, something else started wiggling. And somebody writes this junk up. But what the preacher said was, that's all junk, because who made the first wiggler start wiggling? There's a God. I don't know if you realize it. There's a God that created the heavens and the earth. We were made in His own image. And Revelation chapter 4, it says, thou art worthy to be praised for everything. He said, all things were created, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. We were created for God's pleasure. Then you have to ask yourself, am I giving God pleasure in my life? We were created for God. God took us out of clay. He molded us, made us in His own image. And then He breathed in us the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Amen. Brother Billy, if you would turn the lights off in here. Anybody scared of the dark? We'll have some light because of the light of the windows. Okay. Andrew, you want to help me? Come up here. We can do it right up here. Let me see. Jonathan, come here. You can help me. Good job. Give me 5. We're going to work with this thing. Get her face this way. All right, y'all see Jonathan? Let's come down here. We got time. We're going to have church. Amen. I want to get where y'all can see this. Jonathan, come stand right here. You stand right there. Okay, if it wasn't for that window, y'all cannot see Jonathan's shadow, can you? Turn the light on. Now look, that's Jonathan's shadow. When the light's on, when the sun's on, the sun shines, you can see your shadow. Do you realize you were created in God's image? Do you realize God loves you so much? God made you and loved you so much that even though, see if I can get down here. Now, we don't look just alike. I'm a lot prettier than you are, ain't I? No. He's smiling. But see, we are different. But we are in the same image. There is a defined line of our shadow. And we are in the same image, but we are not exactly made the same. Do you realize you can walk out in this, out here in the sun today, and when the sun shines on you, you can see the image of God? Do you realize that God loved you so much that He created you in His own image? That's the image of God. You want to know what God looks like? That's the image of God. Now, you are not God. You were created in God's own image because He loved you so much that He created you in His own image. And He cared so much for you that when you got in sin and when sin came in this world, He sent His own Son to be the image of his Father, and he went through 30 years of living on this earth being an example, and then he was crucified and hung on a cross, and he shed precious blood. Why? So you could have atonement.
That's right.
So you could be bought with the blood of Jesus. Still bring God pleasure. God loved you so much that he done all that for you. And then we have an image of Jonathan here. But as long as the light is shining, there's image. Jonathan, walk this way a little bit. Walk a little more. The farther you get away from the light, the smaller you become.
Right.
Keep walking, Jonathan. Okay, people say that in definition of your shadow is like a ghost. But the Lord left us the Holy Spirit of God here. He said, I will send you a comforter that will come. That what will he do? He will guide you into all truth. He said, I will leave you, I will not leave you comfortless, but I will send the Holy Spirit that will guide you into all truth. But the problem is, we have the Son right here. And the problem is that we get farther and farther away from God. And Christians, this is what happens to your spiritual life, your spiritual walk. It gets smaller and gets smaller. Back to me. The closer you get to the light, keep coming back. That's not actually Jonathan's size. But the closer he gets to God, the bigger he gets. The closer you get to God, the more of the Holy Spirit of God gets on you. The closer you get to God, that's where you have the spiritual boldness to be able to witness to somebody, to be able to talk to somebody. You say, well, I have a problem. I have this need. I don't understand. I have a hard time witnessing to somebody. I don't know what to do. And you're in your own little shell, and you're scared of this world, even though God said, don't fear what man can do unto you, but fear what God can do, who can destroy both body and soul in hell. The problem is, we're not close enough to God to have a spiritual boldness to hand somebody a gospel tract, to witness to somebody, to change your life. We haven't got close enough to God that God gives us the boldness. Come back a little bit more, Jonathan. Now, Jonathan's only this size right here. But look how big he is. Brother Billy, Gideon was a giant for Jesus. You talked about that this morning in Sunday school. Why? Because he got closer to God. Our pastor's been preaching on getting connected. Our pastor's been teaching on Wednesday nights about getting connected with God, having that Holy Spirit, having that Holy Ghost relationship, getting close to God and having that connection where you feel something when the church services are going on because the Holy Spirit of God is moving and you've learned to worship God. Why have you learned to worship God? Because you've got closer to God, and you've gotten closer to God so much that your spiritual life is grown so big, and you feel like you can attack the world. You feel like Satan don't have a hold on you no more because you've gotten so close to God that you feel like, man, I feel like a giant for Jesus. You have the boldness you need to stand. You can't stand on your own two feet, but I promise you, the closer you get to God, the bigger you'll get spiritually. The farther you get away from God, the smaller you'll get spiritually. That's the problem with our Christian lives. We're not close to God like we need to be. We've gotten away from God, and the more that we take a step away from God, the smaller our shadow gets. And the smaller, the reason you don't feel like you can do anything for God, the reason you don't feel like you can sing, and the reason you don't feel like that you can teach a Sunday school class or that you can witness to somebody or do something big for God, because you're not close to God like you need to be. Without the light, turn it on. We're nothing. He said he had sent his Son to die for us on the cross. I was walking down the road when God gave me this message. and I saw my shadow, and I stopped, and I began to cry, because I realized as long as the sun was shining on me, that I could see my image, and it wasn't mine, it was God's, because God created me. It's not your image. It's the image of what the Son, God has created. God created me. It's not mine. This body is not mine to do with it what I want. This body was designed to bring honor and glory to God. This body was made by a holy and righteous God that loved me so enough that He reached down in the old mud ball of the earth and He pulled out some clay and He began to mold and make me. And then He had the Holy Ghost. He said, come over here, Holy Ghost. He said, breathe in Him the breath of life. And God breathed in me the breath of life and I became a living soul. But without the light, I'm nothing. Without the sun, you're nothing. If you're lost, you've never been born again, you don't understand what I'm talking about. It's because you don't have the Son of God living in your life. You've never been washed in the blood of Jesus. You never realized that you was a sinner and how bad you actually needed God. You never realized that you couldn't go through this earth and you couldn't go through this life without Jesus and be completely fulfilled. That you're just struggling and you're just trying to make it and trying to go and trying to make it without God. I don't know how I would make it through these things that I go through, but my Savior, my shadow, He promised, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. My shadow is always with me and it'll be with me till I die. But when the light's on, guess what? When the light's on in my life, everybody can see the shadow. Everybody can see what God created. He said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. This is not an image of Jonathan. This is an image of God. Jonathan was just created in God's image.
Amen.
Let me show you something. God gave me this verse in Isaiah chapter 30. In Isaiah chapter 30, I want you to look at this. In verse 1 it says, woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me. And listen to this. And that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin, that walk to go down into Egypt, and have not asked of my mouth, to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh, and listen to this, and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. And to trust in the shadow of Egypt. God gave me this message right before the election. And God burdened my heart because I felt like Christianity was being snuffed out. I felt like standing up for our American flag that our soldiers fought for, that they're still fighting for. Sometimes they don't understand what they're fighting for because the way our country is. But let me tell you, they still love the American flag enough that they'll stand out and give their life for America so you can have freedom. And I felt like every bit of that was getting snuffed away. I felt like Christianity was being shoved in the closet. And I felt like I was shrinking. As a Christian, I feel like, man, we better hang on. God, please do something. I feel like I'm being snuffed out. I feel like Christianity was being snuffed out. And I felt like I've been to New York City before. And really, unless God wants me to go, I pray I don't ever go again. I love Staten Island. I love the Statue of Liberty. That's American, my American heart. I love those things. And I told my parents, I said, if I ever come back here again, I pray that they'll bring me in on a helicopter, set me down. I can see the Staten Island, the Statue of Liberty, those things that involved our country. And then I want to fly right back out. Because I don't like trolleys. I don't like rubbing up against everybody else. And y'all get in there and there's like 500 people. You think Mexicans can get in a car? You go to New York Everybody's used to that. And they get in there. This country boy, I wasn't used to that. I was used to having, you know, a woods to run in as a kid and things. But when I got in there and everybody got up against me, I felt claustrophobic. And I said, I ain't doing this again. I felt like I was being snuffed out. And out here in the country, I could see stars at night, the sun shine, and I could work out here and sweat. But and work, and I know the sun was out there, and get me a glass of sweet tea and drink that. But I felt like in the city, the skyscrapers were so tall that I couldn't even see the sun. Sam, what are you saying? They were trusting in the shadow of Egypt. Egypt was a world. And say, what happened, Sam? Well, they begin to let the world grow in their life. They wanted the new fads. They wanted to go on with things of the world. If this was happening, we got to be cool. Yes, do that. If this is going on, yes, do that. We have no idea what we're doing, and we have no idea why we're following this fad, but the world is going this way, so yes, do it. Because we don't want to kick against the pricks, or we don't want to stop and say, no, I'm not doing this. No, I'm standing for what's right. I'm going to honor God with my life. I'm going to do what God wants me to do. No, we begin to follow the world. Jonathan, come right here. This is a psalm book. If I put it down here beside Jonathan, it's not near as big as he is. Is it? It's not near as big. It's small. It's not near as the size of he is. But what's funny is I can take this songbook and I can allow this songbook to get between me, between Jonathan, and between the sun, between the light. And when I begin to put this songbook between, and this is how it creeps in. You think the devil just hits you upside the head and with the world? No, because you would realize what was happening. And so the devil knows that if he can sneak some things in, he knows that if he can put a little pressure on you, he knows that that you can have the right peer pressure, young people. He knows that the right things can come to you and slide in that you won't notice it as much. So he comes in like this. Remember, this is just a psalm book. It's not near as big as Jonathan. But as I bring this in, what does it do? You don't see Jonathan no more. All you see is a psalm book. They were living in the shadow of Egypt. So what are you saying, Sam? I'm saying anything that gets between you and God, you're no longer living for God. You're no longer under the shadow of God. You no longer have God's image. You're no longer there in the shadow of God and having God's image and letting your light shine that they may see your good works and glorify the Father which in heaven, which is in heaven. And as this comes in here, you see it overtakes you. Whatever sin that you allow, whatever thing, and it don't actually have to be a sin. It can be something that gets between you and God. And it can be something small as a psalm book that gets between you and God. You say, well, it's just a little thing. It's just a little habit. I just got something small. It's really not that big. And you begin to talk yourself out of it when the whole time the Holy Spirit is desiring for you to worship to God. The God in heaven that made you in His own image. He's wanting you to dwell with Him. He's wanting you to fellowship with Him. He's wanting you to surrender to Him. He's wanting you to give your life totally to God. And you say, well, it's just a small thing. It's really not that bad. But we don't realize when it gets between us and God that nobody can see you as a Christian anymore. Nobody can see your testimony anymore. And it overtakes your life. Do you realize whatever you allow between you and God no longer has control of yourself, but it takes control of you? Right. Whatever you allow between you and God has taken control of your life. Right. Because God's not able to shine like He needs to. But if you'll remove that, whatever it is, and you'll get closer to God, and closer to God. You say, Sam, I have trials in my life. And my day to day, I get up in the morning and I go through that day and something hits me and I feel like I'm throwing my hands up anymore. I feel like I cannot handle this. I cannot go through this no longer. I've been stressed out and all these things have happened and I'm going through things at work. I'm going through things at home. I'm going through things here and there and I cannot feel like I cannot handle it no more. You know why? Because it's got bigger than you are, because it's got between you and God. But I promise you this morning, I promise you that if you'll get on your knees and you'll get in your prayer closet and you'll get a hold of God and say, God, I'm sorry for allowing things to get between me and you. God, I'm sorry for living a life that doesn't honor you. God, you made me in your own image. God, you even sent your son all the way from heaven to die for me on the cross. And God, I'm sorry that I've allowed things to get between me and you. And you get on your knees and starts praying. And God reaches out there and removes those things. And the next thing, you start seeing God again like you've never seen Him before. If you've ever been in a service where God swept in and you felt the presence of God and you said, man, I've never felt God like that before. You know why? Because you got a glimpse. For a minute, you removed all those things and you allowed God to have full reign in your life. And then the light shined and you saw the image of God bigger than you'd ever seen in your life. And you said, wow, I've never seen God this big before. You know why? Because you got close to God. You made in your mind. It's a decision. You purposed in your heart that you would not defile your body with the king's meat like Daniel did. You purposed in your heart, just like Joseph did. He talked about this morning. All these men of God, they purposed in their heart. They weren't preachers. They were just men of God. Why do you say they were men of God? Because their life evolved around God. They weren't no better than any of us. We were all made in God's image. We can all have that same potential. We can all be used for God. But what they said, they purposed in their heart that I'm not going to allow anything between me and God. And I'm going to allow God to grow my life spiritually. That those little things that used to bother me, those day-to-day aggravating things that used to bother me and that the devil would send my way because he knew my weakness. The devil knows your weakness. He knows how to play cards with you. He knows where you hurt. But what happens when you get closer to God, things don't even bother you no more. You just laugh at them and go, ha ha, that used to bother me. But God has allowed me to grow and I've removed those things between me and God. And the victory's already begun, won. And your faith gets bigger enough where it don't matter what happened. It don't matter if somebody come in here with a Tommy gun and says, I'm going to kill every one of you. You would go, just send me to heaven, whatever. I don't care. Because you've removed everything between you and God and you have God's full potential. You're bigger than you ever been in your life. You can turn that off now. Brother Bill, if you turn the lights on, I'm going to give you a few things. And then I'll be done. They were living under the shadow of the world. And I know, Christians, in your life, there's days that you feel like this world is bigger than you can handle. You feel like this thing is huge. I'm giving up. I just can't handle it no more. But I find the closer I get to God, the more I even quit worrying about the world. The more I realize that I'm not worried about this. This don't matter. Only thing matters is me keeping that connection. Only thing matters is me keeping a line between the Son of God and me. Not allow anything get in there. I was thinking the other day when Jesus said, except, here were the credentials of being a disciple. He said, except you leave father and mother, your family, everything, and follow me, you cannot be my disciple. Right. I'm gonna speak to you this morning and help you a little bit. Spiritually, sometimes, and this is going to hurt, but sometimes your husband or sometimes your wife, sometimes your in-laws, sometimes your cousins, sometimes anybody in your family can hinder you from being what you need to be for God. What are you saying, Sam? I'm not saying do away with your wife. I'm not saying do away with them. I'm just saying spiritually, they can hinder you from being the full potential that you are for God. But you cannot allow those things to get between you. You cannot allow that disagreement, that anxiety, or those things to get between you and God. You've got the purpose in your heart. No matter if my wife's for me, no matter if my husband's for me, no matter if my best friend is for me, I'm on a purpose in my heart that I'm on a purpose in my heart that I'll live for God and that I'll remove anything. Because I'm no longer going to live under the shadow of the world. I'm no longer going to live under a shadow that I feel like is over me and that it's overtaken me. But there's a shadow of the world. Psalms chapter 107. Let's turn there real quick. Psalms chapter 107. Psalms 107 in verse 13. It said, "Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them out of their distress. And He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and break their bands asunder." He brought them out of the shadow of death and break their bands asunder. When you're living in a shadow of the world, when you're living in the shadow of death, God come. I remember when I was 8 years old, I was living under the shadow of the world. You say, you was only 8 years old. Yeah, but I was still lost as a dope head. I was still lost as a drunk. I was still lost as anybody else. And I was living under the shadow of death. If I would have died right then without God, I would have went and split hell wide open. I would have been burning in hell for everlasting to everlasting, forever and ever, if I didn't accept God as my personal Savior. But you know what? I got on my knees and I cried out to God for mercy. I said, I'm lost. I need to be born again. And I asked God to come to my heart and save me. And at that moment, the shadow of God come down and broke loose the shadow of death. And He says, you have no longer victory over him no more, because he's mine now. I bought him with a price. I've washed him in the blood of Jesus. And Jesus took that shadow of death and broke those bands asunder and set me free. But every once in a while, I allow things to get between me and God. And I feel like that shadow of death is almost coming over me again. But let me tell you something. There's more than just a shadow of the world. I wrote this down. God has a shadow too. He created you in His own image. Shadow of God. You got shadow of the world. And I couldn't write thee down. When I write down, God gave me this and said, I want you to write these notes down. And I wrote down shadow of the world. Then He said, write down shadow of God. And I couldn't put shadow of the God, because there's only one God. That blessed my heart when I was writing it down. I said, I have to write shadow of God. Of God. Because there's just God. There's nobody else. There ain't the God. There is God. And that's it. And I wrote down shadow of Jesus. There's only one Jesus. I had to write down shadow of Jesus. There's only one Jesus. And I split them up. And then I wrote down the shadow of the Holy Spirit. If you look in your Bible, there's different spirits in the Bible. But He said the Holy Spirit. I could put the in there. And he said shadow of the Holy Spirit. So I began to look. What would it take for me to live under the shadow of God? I want to give you a few verses in Psalms. Psalms chapter 17. I'll read you a few where it says in the Bible, that we can live under the shadow of God. Psalms chapter 17 and verse 5, it says, "Hold up my goings and thy paths, that my foot slip not. I have called unto thee, for thou wilt hear me, O God. Incline thine ear unto me and hear my speech. Show thy marvelous loving kindness, O thou that savest by thy right hand them which put their trust, not in Egypt, not in the shadow of Egypt, but they put their trust in thee from those that rise up against them. Keep me as the apple of thy eye. Hide me under the shadow of thy wings." God has some wings, brother, that you can stay under the shadow of God's wings. Psalms chapter 63 is turned over there. I decided that I didn't want to live in the shadow of the world no more, but I wanted to get closer to God. And so I began to look up and say, "God, I want to live under your shadow." And he said, "Son, under my shadow there's protection. Under my shadow I have you underneath my wings." Psalms chapter 63, we can look in verse 6. And it says, "When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice." In the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. Psalms chapter 91. We're having a Bible drill here. Psalms chapter 91. You just turn over to Psalms chapter 91. In verse 1 it says, "Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations, before the mountains were brought forth or ever. Thou hast formed the earth and the world even from everlasting to everlasting. Thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, return ye children of men. For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with the flood. They are as a sheep, or they are as a sleep in the morning. They are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourishes and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withered. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light," listen to that, "in the light of thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spent our years as tale that is told." And I'm in the wrong chapter, amen. I knew it was coming down to verse 9. Just look in verse 9 of chapter 91. It says, "Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitations. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague become nigh thy dwelling." In verse 1 of chapter 91, it says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place," listen to this, "of the Most High shall abide," not just spend a minute, not just spend 5 minutes, "but shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." Amen. I don't know about you, but I want to get rid of the world, and I want to not live in the shadow of the world, but I want to abide. I want to stay a little while under the shadow of God Almighty. I want to stay a little while in the presence of God. When God sweeps through a service, I don't want to just quit and say, it's 12 o'clock, I'm ready to go home. No. If God's moving, brother, I want to be right there where God's moving. I want to be in the Holy Ghost. I want to feel the presence of God. I want to abide in the shadow. I want my life to abide in the shadow of God Almighty. I want my God to overshadow me and take care of me day to day to day. I want God to take care of me. I want to live in the shadow of God Almighty. Psalms chapter 36. I'll give you one more for this. Psalms chapter 36. Maybe I'll get the right chapter this time. Psalms chapter 36 and verse 7. Listen to this. It says, "How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings." And then I see that God has a wing. And we can look in Matthew. You can see in Matthew, he said, "How would I would have gathered you like a hen would gather her chicks." And if you've been raised on a farm and you've ever seen a hen with chicks, it'll bless your heart. When there's danger around, she can make a noise. And I don't know what that noise is. But I can tell you, them little chicks know exactly what that noise is. Yeah, It sounds like to me they're just all, they're just all doing what chickens do. But them chickens can be wandering off. I'm going to help you this morning. Them chickens be getting away. And those chicks don't understand the danger. They don't see what's coming. They don't see the raccoon. They don't see the fox. They don't see the danger. But that mama chick will see that danger. And she'll make a noise. And I've seen those chicks when I was a kid. They'd take off running toward mama. And she'd open them wings. And when she'd get all them chicks, she wouldn't leave one out. When she'd get all them chicks underneath there, then she would bring them wings in around them, and she'd kind of squat down like this. And you couldn't see them chicks no more. God Almighty, He said, abide under the shadow of the wings. He said, would not I would gather you? I wanted to bring you in. I saw the danger. I know the plan for your life. I know from beginning to the end. I know I was in the beginning for the beginning began to be gone. I was there, and I'm going to be at the end when this thing's all over with. I'm going to be at Revelation chapter 22, and from there forever and ever, I'm going to be there. I'm going to be from start to finish. I've lived from the beginning to the end. So I know what your potential is. I know what I can do with your life. I understand that, and I see the danger. I know what desires I have for your life. He said, I was wishing that you would come and abide under my wings, but you would not. God wants you. God gave me this a while back. He told me. He says, Sam, you know I don't need you. Anytime you get pride, thinking a little pride that you something, you need to realize that God don't need you. God does not need you to be God. God does not need you for this world to turn. God does not need you. But the greatest thing above it is He wants you. God wants you. He didn't need you when His Son died on the cross. But that's okay. He wanted you so much that He went ahead and sent His Son to die on the cross. And He went ahead and paid for your sins. God wants you. He said, I would have gathered you, but you would not. Them chicks, they hear that sound. Mama don't go over there like a cat and pick them up and drag them and put them. I've seen cats do that. They pick them up and put them in a box, and then the cat gets back out and they grab them again back and forth. Chicks don't work that way. She just makes this clucking noise and they come. But they have a decision not to come too. And He said, I want to. I don't know about you, but He said, I want to abide underneath the shadow of God's wings. He said, I would have had you come, but you would not. And then Jesus, we can look under the shadow of Jesus. And just for sake of time, I want you to see this. Jesus was the shadow of God. Amen. When He came to this earth, He was God manifested in the flesh. He's a shadow of God. You're saying, Sam, what are you saying? I'm saying, you were made in God's image. We, as Christians, are supposed to be the shadow of God. Amen. We are supposed to reflect, just like Jesus, what God wants in our life, what God will do for the sinner, how God will heal the sick, and how God will raise the dead, and how God will change a life spiritually. We are supposed to reflect just like Jesus. He was our example. We are supposed to live under that shadow and reflect exactly what Jesus did. In Song of Solomon, chapter 2, in verse 1, it talks about Him being the lily of the valley. But He also talks about Him being like an apple tree and His shadow covering like an apple tree on a hot day when things get tough, things get rough. And then I think of Isaiah chapter 53, where He said, He shall grow up as a tender plant. Amen. as a root out of dry ground. No form, no comeliness, nothing to boast about. But what did he do? He was obedient all the way to the death of the cross. Not for himself, but for you. He was obedient. I want to be like that. I want to be obedient, Brother Billy, like you was talking about this morning. Being obedient. Gideon was obedient to what God. He himself could not do nothing. But long as he stayed in the light of Jesus, God gave him the boldness. Gave Gideon the boldness to stand up there and blow a trumpet, shout, and break the vases. Amen. And it brought fear upon thousands and thousands of people. Why? Because he had a big God. Amen. He was small in stature. But when he was in the light of God, he was bigger than anything he could do himself. He was a lot bigger. Then I don't know about you. This is my favorite part because God sent us the Holy Spirit and he said to guide you into all truth. Acts chapter 5. Let's turn to Acts chapter 5. I want you to look at this. When you live in the shadow of the Almighty and you reflect and live in the shadow of Jesus, then you'll have the shadow of the Holy Ghost of God on you. Don't let the Holy Ghost scare you. Amen. People get scared of that word. Yep. It's a Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost. Anything holy ought to not scare you. Amen. Unless God is dealing with you about something. Then it'll scare you. But anything holy ought to not scare us. Amen. I want you to look at something. Peter had God on him so much because they had spent time with God. And they decided, I'm not going to put the world and allow to live in the shadow of the world, but I'm going to live under the shadow of the Almighty. And I'm going to do what the Son has asked us to do. He said, if you want to be my disciple, he said, this is the recipe, this is what it's going to take. And he said, follow me. And they followed him. And he said, learn of me. And they learned of him. In Acts chapter 5, we can see in Acts chapter 5 and in verse 14, it says, in believers, let me read you the verses before that. Just start in verse 6, and it says, and the young men arose, wound him up and carried him out. Who are they talking about? Ananias. Because he disobeyed God. And it was about the space of 3 hours after his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered her, tell me whether ye sold the land for so much. And he said, yea, for so, or she said, yea, for so much. Peter said unto her, how is it that ye agreed together to tempt, listen to this, the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and she'll carry thee out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her dead and carried her forth, buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these sayings. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And of the rest durst no man join himself to them. But the people magnified them. Why? Because of God. And the believers were the more added to the Lord. Multitudes both of men and women. Listen to this. This blessed my heart. And so much that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. There came also multitudes of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed. Listen to this, every one. They said, you know, if we could just get those in need, church, if we could just get those in need, just lay them out there. That maybe when Peter walked by, that was living under the shadow of the Almighty, the Holy Ghost of God was on him so much. Imagine this. That God was on you so much that when you walked by, they laid them out and they tried to bring them close and they brought it in and laid them all out there that when you walked through, that your shadow would overpass them and they would be healed. That's how much God was on Peter. Amen. That's how much the power of God. You say, you're crazy. Read it. It's in the Bible. Amen. The power of God was on Peter so much that even his shadow just passing over them would touch them, would change their life. What would happen if you got so close to God and you allowed God to get so big in your life, you allowed God to use you so much and that you removed everything, every jot, every tittle, everything, you removed everything from you and God and you said, God, I want a direct line. God, I want the Holy Ghost of God in my life and on my life. And you removed everything so much between you and the Son that God began to magnify you. God began to grow your spirit and allow you to grow so big that your shadow just passing by somebody, they would get nervous. Hey. Sir. I've sat by preachers before. Sir. And if you've been around preachers very much at all, or even people, you can tell when somebody's got God on them. You can tell when somebody's fake. You can tell when somebody's religious. You can tell when somebody's just going by plan. They all got to do this Sunday morning, Sunday night. We're going to do 3 songs. We're going to say a prayer and we're going to do this. And then, buddy, 12 o'clock, we're going to go home. It's over with. And I'm going to sit back and watch a football game. And I'm going to eat and I'll be back Sunday night maybe if I feel like it. If not, you can tell when somebody's really in this thing and when somebody's not. I've been around people long enough. I'm not very old, but I was raised around preachers all my life. And I could tell when a preacher got up and preached. And I'm going, man, he's preaching the right word, but all he needs is God. Amen. He knows what to say. He knows what scriptures to read. He knows the how to have so many points. Just have 3 points. Just put some A and B points below those 3 points. And then just have a poem or just have an illustration at the end of it. And that will tie into this everything together. And then just have an altar call. And we'll sing this song right here because I feel like this song goes with the message. And next thing you know, we've left God out. I've been around this enough that I've seen that. And I know how that works. But I've been around also, it's been few, but I've been around some preachers where you felt something. You sit down on a pew beside them. I've been at meetings before and sit down on a pew beside a preacher. And all of a sudden I'm like, man, I feel something. I feel something. You say, well, you're crazy. No. It's in the Bible. I just read it to you. Peter's shadow would overpass them and they would be healed just from his shadow. He had God on him so much that his shadow just overpassing them would heal them. What does people see when they see your shadow? You know, a shadow is the image of you, is the image of God, but it's a reflection of what your life is. And I don't have to get on things. I don't have to get on long hair. I don't have to get on earrings, those big old plugs in your ears. I don't have to get on anything like that. Right. But if I had those, you would be able to tell by my shadow. Right. I'm just using that as an example. You would be able to tell that, hey, that guy's got this going on. He's got hair down his back. He's got this going on. You would be able to tell if the sun shined, you'd be able to tell. Amen. Same image, but you'd be able to tell. In that defined line, you'd be able to tell there's something different. People see you day to day. They see your life. They know exactly how you are. They know your habits. They know everything about you. But what if when they saw you, coming. And they're sitting around talking, telling dirty jokes and everything, and they see you coming. And you're just walking by to tell them, hi, how are you doing today? How's the Lord treating you? But when you start coming, you see them, hey man, I'll catch you tomorrow, I got to go. And they begin to split. So what is that? That's God. Amen. Only God's powerful enough. His word is powerful enough that you can stand on a corner of a street and just hold that black Bible up and not even say a word. Just stand there and hold it. I dare you sometime. Just stand there and hold it. I don't care if you take 5 minutes and do it. Just so you can see the reaction. When you see that, you see people. They'll be looking and driving. What in the world? That's a Bible. They all know it's a Bible. But let me ask you this. When they see you, do they know that that man's got God on him? That's God's man. I ain't talking about a preacher. I'm talking about just a man that spends time with God. That's God's man. There's something different about that guy. He loves God. There's something different about him. You know why our churches don't grow? You know why things don't happen in our lives? Because people are not seeing that. There's nothing to desire. They don't see nothing to desire. It's just the same old church, just like another church. We can go down the street, one after another, one after another, one after another. It's the same routine. Ta-da, we go home. I can sit at home, eat me some Doritos, and watch the same mess on TV. But no, I want to go to a church where God is. I want to get up in the morning and go meet with my Lord and Savior. And I want to maybe just get a little bit of that and pray that I'll keep my life clear, that maybe I can get enough God on me. Maybe just I can get enough of the Holy Spirit of God come down on me. Maybe I can get enough for me that God could use an old sinner like me. Maybe I can get enough for me that I could tell somebody else about Him. Maybe I can get enough of God on me and I can keep that line clear enough that maybe I can go talk to somebody that is about to take their life in suicide because they feel like it's all over with. There's nothing left. They feel like this world has gotten so big that they can't even see the light no more. And they feel like they're living under the shadow of death so much that they can't see nothing no more. And they feel like they need to take a gun to their head and shoot themselves, get rid of their lives. Maybe I can have enough God on me that I can stop something like that. And I can tell somebody about Jesus and how comforting it is to live under the shadow of the Almighty God, and how that He will take and comfort you, and that He will protect you, and that He will take care of every need you have. He will feed you. He will clothe you. He will pay your bills. He will do everything that you need for Him to do. God will meet your need. He said He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God wants all of us. He wants every one of us to come to Him and remove those things that we can be, allow God to be magnified in our lives. God wants us. God wants you, each and every one of you. God wants to be magnified in your life this morning. God wants to magnify Himself in your life. I hope and I pray, God, I want you on me enough that when somebody walks by me, they might feel the presence of God. That's my desire. I've seen it once before, how preachers, and I've been by preachers, and I'm like, man, they got God on them. And I felt something. I want to be that way. I don't want to live under the shadow of this world. This world will take you over. This world will stuff you in a box and throw you in the trash. But I want to live under the shadow of the Almighty God. And I want to have enough God on me that when I walk by, that people go, man, there's something different about that guy. I think of this verse, yea. Psalms chapter 23. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. God sent us a comforter to come. David had a rod and staff. But God sent us a comforter. And He sent us His word, the Holy Scripture. And now I can say, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Yea, though I go through valleys and I go through hard times. Yea, though I go through things. I will not fear. Why? Because all I got to do is look beside me. As long as the sun is shining and I don't have nothing between me and God and me and the sun, all I've got to do is look over there and there's my shadow. And each step I take, that shadow goes with me. Why can I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, fear no evil? Because thou art with me. I look over there and that reminds me the image of God. And he said in his book, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. God will never leave you. You give your all to God. You give everything you got to God. Everything. Don't hold nothing back. God will meet your needs. And he promises he would never leave me. This week, I want you to look at your shadow. And when you look at your shadow, realize that's where God is. God is with you everywhere you go. No matter. So don't go taking him in some beer joint. Because God's with you. That don't mean you need to go somewhere like that. But let me tell you, wherever you go, remember, God is with you. What we need to do is remove what's blocking us from seeing God in our life. If we would, just stand. And I'm going to ask you this question. What shadow are you living under? What shadow are you living under this morning? Are you living under the shadow of the world because things have got between you and God? Or can you say this morning, there's nothing between me and God, and I'm living under the shadow of the Almighty. You know how those chicks know that they're underneath those wings? Because once they get out of the heat and they get underneath those wings, they feel the coolness. And they realize, hey, I'm out of the heat. I'm out of the struggles. I'm out of those things. And there's a shadow over me, and it's mama's protection. And then when she brings those wings on in, what do? They feel it. You ever been in a service? I know you have, because I've been here and it's happened. And it happens almost every Sunday. At a point in time, there's a spirit that comes through here when the spirit gets sweet like it was earlier when we were singing songs. Did you not feel that? Did you not feel something come over you? Did you not feel the shadow of the Almighty come over this auditorium? Did you not feel the touch of God? Did you not feel the shadow of the Almighty God come over you? And you said, boy, that's a good song. Or boy, that touched my heart. Or boy, that message worked in my life. Boy, that testimony that somebody gave was exactly what I needed. That was God overshadowing you, bringing you in like a hen does her chicks. That was God caring for you and bringing you together. And doing something. You felt something. That's what I want to feel every day. We don't have to come to church Sunday to feel that. We've got it all wrong. You don't have to walk through those doors to feel that. I want you to feel it when you come through those doors. Our pastor prays and desires and prays hard that the presence of God will be in this place. Every service, every time those doors are open, he prays that the power of God will be in here. Why? Because he wants to see somebody born again. He wants to see a life changed. He wants to see a heart that's been broken and scarred and mended. But you don't have to have that only in here. When you get up in the morning in your house, you can feel the presence of God in your house. There's been times I've gotten in my truck and I've been driving down the road, but then all of a sudden I felt God get in and sit in a passenger seat with me and start talking to me. Maybe he done it through a song or something I heard, or maybe it was just quiet time and my heart was burdened about something, or I was distressed, or I was going through things, or man, I was struggling through something and my heart was broke. Then all of a sudden I felt those wings come in around me. And I felt him get in the truck with me. And there's been times I've cried in my truck and said, thank you, God. I feel your wings. I feel your touch. I want that in my life every day of my life. Does it always happen, Sam? No, it don't always happen. But I'm striving for it. I want it. I want it to happen every day. I'm constantly making sure that I keep removed anything from me and God. And if you'll do that, you'll feel those wings more often and more often. As a church, our community needs us living under the shadow of the Almighty. Why? Because we'll reflect what the light is shining. Our community, there's people in this community that are hurting. There's people all around us that hurts every day. And we have no idea what they're going through. But God does. And maybe just our shadow. Maybe just our presence. Maybe just, hey, how are you doing this morning? Maybe something like that. You allow God to use you to change your life. And when I worked law enforcement, I've been in times and where I would go and respond to a call where somebody's attempted suicide. And my heart would break because I knew the answer. I knew all they needed was God. And I would try to talk to them and say, look, you almost went to hell if you're not saved. But let me tell you about somebody that loves you so much that he will take care of you, and he will take and put you underneath his wings, and he will change your life. People need that this morning. I need that from day to day. I need my God each and every day. Yes, live under the shadow, not of the world, but of the Almighty.
If God's touch your heart, let's do business with the Lord. Jesus, keep me.